Psalms 1, if you're physically able, we would invite you to stand with us as we read our text together, verses 1 through 6. I'm so excited to be a part of the youth revival this week. And with that thought in mind, the Lord has prepared our heart to bring you a message this morning from Psalms 1, beginning in verse number 1. And I trust that we could be a blessing to all those in attendance this morning, but especially our young people. So I pray that you would not just open your eyes and your ears, but that you would allow God to open your hearts to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Amen. Psalms 1, we don't know who the writer is of Psalms 1. We know a lot of the writers in the book of Psalms. They are many, David, Moses, many others. We don't know exactly who wrote Psalms 1, but we know the author, and his name is God. Amen. And it's timeless truth, and that's what matters most. Notice what the psalmist says in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Right. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Right. The ungodly are not so, right, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's two words I'm interested in out of these six verses. I want you to notice here in verse 3, the last word, prosper. Well, that's a good word. Amen. Prosper. If you understand the biblical spiritual application of that word prosper, boy, that's a good word. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, because the world seems to want to redefine that word prosper. And then I want you to notice the last word in verse 6, perish. Prosper and perish. I don't know if your Bible has a subtitle, but mine says, Two Men, Two Ways, Two Destinies. I would like to title this message this morning, Decisions Determine Destiny. Decisions Determine Destiny. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for another day that you've given and for this service together with your people this morning. Thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit that we've already encountered today. And Lord, we stand very humbly before your presence. And we stand here at this sacred place now just asking that you would anoint, give us the unction to function this morning. May your word, Lord, find a lodging place in our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. For us in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the Bible tells us to ponder the path of our feet. Ponder the path of our feet. And when we think about this text here in Psalms 1, it's a decision about prosperity, or it's a decision about perishing. Nah, that's not so complicated, is it? We go through life making decisions. Each and every day we have to make choices in life. There are some hard choices or hard decisions, and sometimes there are some easy decisions to make. They can be big decisions, small decisions, hasty decisions, or decisions that would require us maybe to tarry for a while and to meditate thereupon. But nevertheless, we go through life making decisions every single day. And there's always a consequence for every decision that we ever make. Amen. So if I could, for a few moments here, I want us to consider what the psalmist is talking about here when he mentions this word prosper and the word perish. Because if we're going to ponder our path, of course, there is a path, according to this text here, a path of prosperity. And that's the path we should desire to take. There is a course for a crown. There is the journey to joy, if you would. Now, it's a battleground, and this path of prosperity is not an easy road to take. It's not an easy street. But then also he mentions that word perish, and it tells us that it's a freeway of filth, and there's a street of sin. There's an expressway of evil. But when we come to these two words here, I want us to clearly understand the psalmist in Psalms 1, when he's talking about prosperity, what is he talking about when we think about that word prosperity, and how does the world describe that word prosperity? Because when we come to the Word of God, it's not a prosperity gospel as intangible, temporal, material things of this world like much of the world will try to indoctrinate you with and I with. That's not the prosperity that God is talking about here. It's not a promise for a trouble-free life. Amen. Oftentimes we seem to think that if we're got a trouble-free life that we're prospering, or that is prosperity. Or if we have a whole lot of money in the bank, that's prosperity. Or if we have homes and cars and tangible things, again, material things, temporal things, that's prosperity. But that's not biblical prosperity. And that's not the prosperity that the psalmist is talking about here when we come to this particular passage. It's much deeper and much richer than that. Meaning this, it's not a prosperity that is temporal. It is a prosperity that is eternal. Amen. And that's what matters. Amen. And this is a struggle for all people, but especially, I believe, for young people. Because, see, we have been there at one time. I even wondered this week, preacher, you're having a youth revival and you call an old preacher to preach it. I mean, but anyway, we have some experiences, right? We have learned some things in life about prosperity, because when you're young, you tend to have that mindset, well, if I get educated, if I get a good job, if I can buy some things, if I can get a savings account, I can put some money to the side, and I can have all these things that the world offers, well, then I would identify myself as being prosperous, you know? And that's exactly what your enemy would desire you to do, because that's the mindset he would have for you to have, is that if you can have the world, well, then you have become successful and you have prospered. But that is as far from the truth as you can possibly get, because the devil has no good interest for you. We have an enemy, an adversary, and he's going to fight us, and he's going to try and indoctrinate us. He's going to try and deceive us. He is so subtle in his ways, and he's going to do everything he possibly can to make you think that you're prospering when you walk the ways of the world.
Amen.
Decisions determine our destiny.
Amen.
Now listen, we say, oh, that's some preaching there, but we need teaching and preaching too. Honestly, I feel as though that if you don't have some teaching and preaching, you only got half of it. The psalmist gives us some teaching in this preaching, and it's about how can we prosper and have a prosperity that is eternal, a prosperity that is of great value and wealth, a prosperity that we're going to prosper from, something that's beyond what you find in the world and the world's definition of it. And that's what I want us to take a few moments to consider if we can this morning. I want you to notice, if you would, the prosperous path. If we're going to ponder the path of our feet, if we're going to think upon, if we're going to examine, if we're going to study, if we're going to consider the path of our feet, and we want to be prosperous in this life, well, then we must look at the text and what the psalmist says. Notice what he says in verse 1. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The first thing we must understand is we must distance ourselves from the sinful things of the world.
Amen.
We must separate ourselves. The influence and the exposure that young people encounter today. And listen, it's not just young people. It's us adults as well. I mean, it's everywhere you turn. We live in a sin-saturated society. And don't think for a minute that it does not influence you and me and our young people. Especially with the technology we have today with social media. Probably get a little quiet in here right now, you know. I just read this week that 97% of teenagers, of all the teenagers, 97% is active on social media. That's staggering. And I would say those numbers are probably fairly close because everywhere you look and see, listen, I'm not preaching against social media. I'm just telling you the exposure that is there with social media.
Amen.
You think about that. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, and it's not just teenagers. I'm talking small. I'm talking even sometimes little toddlers. I mean, they can do more with the phone than I can do. But the exposure that they have from sexting, y'all know what that is? And sending implicit images and all through texts and photos on social media. I mean, through the scammers that you have, to all the predators that is constantly surfing and scanning social media. See, if we're going to walk the prosperous path, if we're going to find the favor of God in our lives, if we're going to have that fellowship, which starts with a relationship, but if we're going to have God's power and unction in our lives, we must distance ourselves from the ungodly things and from the sinful and from the scornful. That's exactly what the psalmist here is giving to us, that we must avoid sin. We must steer clear of scornful things. We shouldn't flirt with it. We don't minimize it. We don't reclassify it. We don't underestimate it. We need to know our company, and we need to know our place and where we're at.
Amen. Amen.
Now, it may not seem popular, young people. You start back to school next week, maybe. I don't know when it is here. This week, next week. Real soon you'll be starting back school. And it may not be a popular thing that you don't go along with the crowd and with the other friends and students in your class. But we need to be prudent students. We need to be students that's going to prosper with God. And we're going to walk in His way. And the only way we're going to do that is we're going to have to separate and we're going to have to distance ourselves from the sinful and the scornful. We cannot find ourselves in a place and in a position to where we allow that kind of influence in our lives. Listen, I'm not here to give the enemy any credit, but don't underestimate the power of the devil.
Amen.
And the seduction and the spirits, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are in the world today. And I'm telling you, they all over social media. It is full of it. The things that we look at and the things that we listen to, we must distance ourselves from these things. If not, we'll find our souls being vexed.
Amen.
I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" He said, "Wait a minute, preacher, we're not building no idols and no altars." I'm telling you, if you look around today, I'm afraid, and I'm not casting judgment, but I'm afraid that phones and social media has become people's idol.
Amen.
You pull it up under the settings and look at the FaceTime that people spend, screen time, I believe is what they call it, on a cell phone.
Come on.
And I kind of doubt they're reading their Bibles that whole that much. Amen. In all honesty, if we're not careful, we will allow the things of this world to become idols and to stand between us and God. For ye are the temple of the living God. Amen. God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We must understand that in James chapter number 1, verse 13, through 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it finisheth, bringeth forth death.
Amen.
Do you want to prosper? Are you going to ponder your path of your feet? Are you going to walk in the ways of God? If so, we must separate ourselves from the sinful things of this life.
Amen.
We're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Amen.
We ought to be different, separate and sanctified and set apart for God and His honor and for His glory. 1 John 1:2-15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If the man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The amusement, the arousement, the acquirement of this life is all temporal.
Amen.
But the blessings of God is eternal.
Amen.
Doing the will of God requires us to withdraw, to separate, to distance ourselves from those things that are sinful.
Amen.
And those are the scornful. I want you to notice number two, not only must we distance ourselves, but we must delight ourselves and the things of God. Notice verse 2, the first part of it, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's a deep dive into the things of God. It's investing in finding church, delighting ourselves in church. The preacher got up here early and talked about as we begin to sing and worship God that as if though it's a burden to try and sing and praise and glorify God, that should be no burden to us. I mean, we should delight that we have the privilege to be able to come and assemble as God's people and sing praises to the Most High God. That is a privilege. That is not a burden. Amen. We ought to delight ourselves in the freedoms that we have and the opportunities that we have as Christians and believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should delight ourselves in the opportunity that God has granted and given unto us of the 66 books of the Bible, 1,189 chapters God has blessed us with, his eternal word.
Amen.
And the power of God's word, but yet so many people despise it rather than delighting in it. If we're going to prosper, not only must we distance ourselves, but we must delight ourselves in the things of God. We need to get involved.
Amen.
We need to be in the house of God when the doors are open. We need to be active with the ministries and the outreach of the church. If it's men's meeting or ladies' meeting or VBS or youth camps or outings, whatever it is, get involved in that.
Amen.
Saturate yourself with the things of God. Get the word of God in you. Meditate on God's word. Memorize God's word. You can't get enough of it, I'll tell you that. Amen. Delight yourself in the things that will bring honor and glory to him and that will strengthen and establish and settle you. How important that is for us.
Amen.
To delight in the things of God.
Amen.
Take pleasure in them. Give time to it. Oh, the power of God's word. Psalms 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Amen.
Whew.
Amen.
The Bible says in verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved.
Amen.
Verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. If we're going to prosper, we've got to delight in the things of God. We've got to invest ourselves and our time and our attention and to the things of God. I understand there is so much to draw young people today away from the things of God. And it is such a challenge for the leaders of our churches. But you know what, church? If we delight in it, if they see our interest and our joy in it, if they see us excited, preacher, I mean, if they see us willing to be a part of and investing in, then they're more likely to want to follow as well. We have to be that example for them. But I'm telling you, young people, delight. Don't take it for granted. Many parts of the world today that they have to sneak in. They have to come in under the radar. They have to come through the shadows of the woods in order to even have a little part of Christianity.
Right.
Many of them have to hide their Bibles because of persecution. And here we are here in America.
Come on,
and God has blessed us and given us the privilege and the opportunity to be able to do what we do. And I'm just pleading with our young people as well as our adults, don't take that for granted.
Amen.
And every time an opportunity is given, we ought to stand, we ought to lift our hands, we ought to clap our hands, we ought to shout to the glory of God that He has blessed us with such privileges and freedoms as we have here in America. We got to diss it. We must delight. And I want you to notice this lastly. I want you to know the latter part of verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Listen to this now. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. We must be determined. You got to be determined. Listen, this thing with following the Lord, it's not a matter of conveniency. It's a covenant that we make. Covenant in Sunday school this morning. Brother did a good job. It's a covenant that we make with the Lord. We must be determined day and night, in season, out of season.
Amen.
Sunny days, rainy days. We must commit. We must submit ourselves to the law of the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if we do these things, it is a guaranteed promise on the Word of God that we will prosper. And I love what he says when we get to verse 3. He likens those that will distance himself from the ungodly and from the sinful things of the world. He likens those that will delight himself, herself, in the things of God. He likens those that will be determined day and night, all season, all times, all difficulties, all trials and troubles. He likens it to a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know what I get out of that? Life. Which leaves will not fade. Eternal life. Amen. Listen, again, I tell you, it does not mean that you will be trouble-free. You may have some difficulties. You're going to have some battles. You're going to have some burdens. There's going to be some dark times. There's going to be some low valleys, but some high hills as well. But I'm telling you this, it'll be worth it all when we get there. Amen. Because the time's coming when old Gabriel's going to step out and he's going to toot and we got to scoot and we checking out of here and we checking in up there and we going home to glory. And we shall prosper. Amen. In due time.
Amen.
Boy, what a blessing.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, I don't know where you're at with the Lord this morning. As the musicians come and we get a song ready. But our desire, and I believe it's the will of God the Father, we know that it is because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all
Amen.
Would be saved.
Amen.